God wants to speak to your heart this morning. There's something in this for you. Okay, so open up your heart to receive from the Spirit of God, because He's here to minister to you. Amen? So I want to start off in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. And so, I mean, if you basically just open up in Galatians and go from there, from chapter 1, we'll get there. But I'm going to be bouncing around from time to time. But I want to just first of all start off about how I study the Word. Okay, this isn't the only way to study the Word. It might be the best way, but it's not the only way. That's just a joke. It's my way. This is how I do it, okay? But in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Okay, so the justified shall live by faith. The just is referring to the believer who has been justified, made right with God. Okay, and this says we'll live by faith. Now, just by means of introduction, I want to kind of tail on to a couple things and say, you know, the faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Amen. And so for us as believers, you know, we cannot expect to grow in our relationship with God, to experience more from God and of God without the Word. And yet, I mean, I'm going to have to stop myself from all the testimonies and stories jumping up in my heart. But I remember one case a few years back where a friend of mine, I went to this new church, and it was awesome. It was exciting. And he was like, you know, on stage leading worship. And I looked at him and I was like, wow, that's really a godly guy. And like, you know, all of that, like super spiritual. And, you know, anyway, we became friends. And I remember the one day he told me, he felt that the Lord spoken to him and said that his season of grace is over, and now he needs to buy a Bible and start reading it. And I laughed. There's no condemnation if you're not reading the Word. I trust that by the end of today's service, you'll be stirred up to get more into the Word. But he had this appearance of being super spiritual. And then the more I got to know him, the more I realized there's nothing spiritual about him, except that he's born again. But, you know, if you don't have the Word, you don't have substance. You know, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, and the Living Bible says, "Yet faith comes from listening to this good news," the good news about Jesus Christ. So it's saying, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word, but we're going to look at the context of that. What is the context of the Word? It's the gospel. Go read through Romans chapter 10, and you'll see that the context is talking about the gospel, the message of what Jesus has done for us and freely offers us. Now, Mark said last week that the best version to use is the version that you're using, right? Or the version that you'll read. I agree with that. He also said if you're looking for an easy-to-read version, then you should get whatever version he said. I can't remember. But I wasn't looking for a translation. But there is a version called the easy-to-read translation. And easy-to-read version says, "So faith comes by hearing the good news, and people hear the good news when someone tells them about Christ." Okay, so this is what our lives need to be built on, the gospel, not just the Bible. The Bible's important, and all of it is inspired, all of it we can learn from, but you've got to build your life on the gospel, which is contained in the Bible. Okay, so you've got to learn to rightly divide this and discover where the gospel is in the Word. Okay, but yeah, the context of the Word, Romans chapter 10 is specifically talking about the gospel. Okay, I heard this once: when you take the text out of the context, you're left with a con. So you've got to learn to get into the Word and see what is it actually saying to me. Okay, yeah, as people hear the message of Jesus and what He's freely done for them, you know what happens? Faith rises up within us. And then we're enabled to live by faith. You can't live by faith if you don't have any Word in you. Yeah, you might be going to heaven, but that's maybe all that you're going to experience. God's got more for you. Amen? There's so much more. Okay, so moving on from there, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, New King James, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You cannot grow in your relationship with God without the Word. You need the Holy Spirit with that, and together it's explosive. Okay, but you cannot mature just without without the Word. Okay, without a revelation of the good news of what Jesus has done for us and freely offers us, we are deficient as believers. And I've met a lot of deficient believers. As we get into Galatians, you'll see what a deficiency looks like. Okay, so the Word is important. The Word should be an authority in our lives. You know, for me, my wife and I got married in 2010, and the same year we started the church. And she's sitting at the back there. You want to wave? And one of the things on my list, the only thing on my list of what I was looking for in a spouse, in a wife, was that she is submitted to the authority of the Word. Because I realized it doesn't actually matter if she's baptized in the Holy Spirit or not. What matters is that the Word is the authority. Because then, if she's not baptized in the Holy Spirit, I will show her in the Word, and if she accepts the authority of the Word, she'll receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, at that stage, I was turned on to listening to good teaching from Andrew Womack, and my life was being changed, and I was like, I'm not going to probably meet anyone who's heard of this guy. Because at that stage, I was the minority where we live, you know, listening to Andrew Womack's teachings. And so I just remember saying, you know, well, I can't expect her to be listening to Andrew Womack. So the authority of the Word needs to be what I'm looking for, you know. And then when we listen to a teaching together or something, she's got to go with what the Word says, not with what she grew up believing. And then I found someone who was submitted to the authority of the Word. That set us up for a successful marriage. Amen. So how do you get into the Word? Because it's about getting into the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've got to study the Word. We've got to learn to rightly divide the word of truth. There's a lot of people, I used to be one of them, that butcher the Word. They don't rightly divide the word of truth. They'll take a scripture out of context, and you know, then you're left with a con, and then that sets them up for deception. If you want to avoid deception, you've got to learn to rightly divide the word of truth. But then if you look at that verse, in the King James, it says, study to show yourself approved. Study. It doesn't say read. So this is something else I wanted to give you this morning, is that we're not instructed to read the Bible. You have to read the Bible to study it. But we're instructed to study the Bible. And the more we study the word, the more we get revelation, the more it can change our lives. Because that's the goal, remember? The goal isn't more information. The goal is transformation, because of us receiving a revelation. It's taken root in our hearts, and it starts to produce fruit. Fruit that will last. Amen? So, you know, when we come to the Word, you don't have to be a theologian or a Bible school graduate in order to get something out of the Word. You might be sitting there thinking, well, I haven't gone to Bible school, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a leader, that's why I come to church, is to receive from the Word from the pulpit. That's awesome, and that's a great first step. But God wants you to receive in your own quiet time. And it doesn't have to take hours. Okay, it doesn't have to take hours, but it's going to take you coming to the Word with an anticipation. It's going to take you coming to the Word with an expectancy. It's going to take you coming to the Word with a diligence about it, okay? With expectancy, anticipation, and a diligence. If you don't come with those three things, you're probably not going to receive very much, okay? You got to be expectant when you come to the Word. So how do I dig into the Word? This is still just my introduction, but we got to dig in systematically, okay? We don't just play biblical roulette. I used to do that, biblical roulette. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The Lord speaking to me. I don't know what's he saying, but you know, that's dangerous. You know, I've heard someone say you can do that and go, you know, Judas hung himself, and then you do it again and it's go do likewise. Don't do that. That's not wisdom. You've got to look at it in context and try and understand what is God saying to us through the scripture. So you've got to do it systematically, not haphazardly. Okay, purposefully. You know, each book in the Bible and each letter were written purposefully. Okay, and it was compiled intentionally. So you're going to get more out of the word when you start approaching it systematically and purposefully. When you start approaching it with a diligence to actually get the meaning out of it. Okay, but this is the thing, you have to understand that, you know, the word, there's a revelation in the word for us. And here's the thing, some people might struggle with this. It's the same revelation we can all get. It's not a different revelation for me and a different one for you. We might have different pictures of the same thing, but it's the same thing. It's never going to be different. Revelation, you know, just the word by itself means an unveiling, taking the lid off to reveal something that is there. So it's not like God's going to give you a special revelation from the word which never existed ever before, and now you're super special. It's going to be that you get a revelation from the word by the Holy Spirit. Someone else might know it. Someone else probably knows it. But it's going to be impacting your life and changing your life, because that's what the Spirit of God wants you to know now. Okay? But as we approach the word, we need to ask questions like, who wrote this? Okay, yes, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, but who wrote it? Who was it written to? Why was it written? Okay, and in order to discover the answers to these kind of questions, it's good to look up background information, introduction, and things like that from commentaries. Now, there's a whole bunch of junk out there, but you find yourself a good commentary, Andrew's got one, and you find a good commentary, and you can read up on the history of the book and all of that. So when you get into the book, you've got a deeper understanding of why was this written? What was the situation here? Okay, you can go to Google and find some things out there too, but that can also be hazardous. Amen? Now, I asked your pastors if this would be offensive, and they said no, so I blame them. But, you know, with social media and Google, it's given the village idiot a voice. So you can't just go out there and find information. You've got to sift through the information. That's why I say go find a good commentary where you can study up the word in a good way. Okay, I always try and read a whole book at a time, or as much of it as I can at a time. So it's easier to start with, let's say, a New Testament epistle, a letter like Galatians, which we're going to do today. And what I'll do is I'll sit and read through the whole thing in one sitting, because it's not difficult, or as much of it as I can in as fewer sittings as possible. But first, I'll read the introduction in a commentary, read the background information, who wrote this, why did they write this, etc., etc. And then I'll read through the whole book, because then it makes sense to me. And then I'll go back to verse 1 of chapter 1, and I'll go through it slowly. And as I'm going through it slowly, I'm meditating on what is this, what does it say? I'm thinking about what does it mean? Like, show me in the scripture, Holy Spirit, what do you want to communicate to me? What were you communicating to the church of Galatia at the time? You know, as I go through it slowly but surely, I'll make notes on the different verses and what stands out for me. Sometimes it'll take me a very long time to get through a book, but a quantity isn't the aim. Information isn't the aim. Transformation is the aim. What is the Spirit of God saying to me right now is the aim. You know, I was in a tricky situation in the first few years of the church, and I needed a word from God. But I had people telling me what to do from this side, people telling me what to do from this side, and I was just couldn't hear what God was saying to me. So I went out and sat on a field by myself in the middle of nowhere. My cell phone was switched off, and I just took my Bible and I started reading through Ephesians. I said, Lord, I'm reading through the whole book of Ephesians, and then hopefully that clears my mind, and I can just focus on you more, and I want to hear what you have to say about the situation. I think I got to chapter 5 or something, and a verse jumped out at me, and it was the answer for the whole situation. I wasn't expecting an answer from that scripture, but I was expecting to clear my heart to be able to hear from God, hear what God was wanting to say to me. It doesn't matter, as I said, how long it takes. What matters is it transforming and changing your life? Amen? So the book of Galatians, if you want to turn there to chapter 1. And I want to read just a bit of background information for you. Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul as a defense of the gospel, the message of the gospel. Now, the word gospel literally means good news. Okay? It literally means good news. So when we say gospel, we're saying that this is the good news, the message of what Jesus has done for us and freely offers us. So that is the message that we're talking about today. Paul wrote Galatians in defense of the true gospel. This letter provides some of the clearest statements on grace and on the gospel of grace. Okay? And I like it because Paul's not holding back. This was one of the first, I first taught a series on, one of the first series I taught back in our church back home years back was on the book of Galatians. It also took me a couple of weeks, but I loved it because Paul doesn't mince his words. Paul doesn't hold back. Paul goes strong. Okay, and if there's any religious bone in your body, I'm going to play with it today. Because that's what Paul did in this letter. He didn't play with them, he messed with them. So let's say messed rather. Okay, so even if you look at how he starts off the letter, he starts it off by skipping over pleasantries and usual introductions and stuff, and he went straight for it. He jumped straight into it to get to the point because he was so upset with what was taking place in the churches of Galatia. Okay? And what was happening was Christianity had started primarily as an offspring or offshoot of Judaism. So it was kind of like Messianic Jews. And the message quickly started to spread and go to all the world. Because that's what the angels even declared at the birth of Jesus. This would be good news for all people. Okay? So the message wasn't just for the Jews, but now you had Jews accepting it. And then they were getting worried because, hey, yes, you're saved by Jesus and faith in Jesus, but you still need to. And so they were taking the message of the gospel and adding to it and saying, you still need to X, Y, and Z. And we'll get into that in a minute. But, you know, Paul was kind of dealing with this because he was upset with it and saying, no, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus anything equals nothing. You cannot add to the finished work of the cross. You cannot add to your salvation through your effort and through your work. And so these legalistic Jews, the Judaizers, they were coming into the churches of Galatia and they were messing with the churches, with the Christians. They were saying, yes, you're saved by faith, but you still need to be circumcised. You still need to observe certain rituals. You still need to observe certain holy days. You still need to eat kosher. And that's where we pause and we say, thank God for the new covenant and bacon. Amen? We had a guest speaker come in a few months back and they taught a whole message on thank God for bacon. They didn't talk about bacon much, but the whole point was, you know, thank God for the new covenant where we're not restricted with regard to those things and being accepted by God based on those things. So that these Judaizers were promoting circumcision, a kosher diet, observances of religious holy days. And this greatly disturbed Paul. You're going to see his language in a bit. I love it. Okay. He said that they had been seduced, bewitched. He was like, somebody must have cursed you for you to go down this road. It's not, you're out of your mind to go down this road. Okay? And he's talking about legalism. Okay? So, grace would be unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. Grace is God's free gift towards us, right? When we look at legalism, legalism is man's attempt to please God, appease God, get right with God. Legalism is everything. It's our works, our effort to try and be right with God. Whereas grace and faith is really just a, you did it all and I'm going to believe in that. Okay? So that's the difference here. And Paul's saying, you must be crazy to go from faith in Christ alone, faith in His grace, to yes, I still need to do something in order for God to bless me, accept me, love me, move in my life, or whatever the case is. And you know, when I studied the word for the first time in Galatians and I was getting into it and having a revelation of the true gospel, it radically changed my life. It changed my whole relationship with God. Things started to get better and I enjoyed Christianity so much more because I was living on a hamster wheel of performance trying to get right with God. I was, you know, every time I'd make mistakes, every time I'd do something wrong, I would get beat myself up and I'd be like, now I've got to fast. You probably did too, right? Or you know, we kind of get to this place of what do I need to do to get right with God? I need to do something because we've got a performance mentality when the only thing you need to do is say, thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, Jesus, that it's not by what I do, it's by what you've done. Repentance is a change of heart, a change of mind. It's not just changing your actions. That's an old covenant view of repentance. New covenant view of repentance is focusing on the truth, which says, hey, and when you come to know the truth shall make you free. So now the truth that makes me free is, thank you, Jesus, I'm already forgiven. And I don't need to do anything to try and get forgiven. So Paul was saying that they were starting to believe a perversion of the gospel. Okay? You know, with this, what Paul's basically saying is you either take grace straight, you drink it straight, or it's useless.
That's right.
And we'll see some of the scriptures that's either you drink it straight and you enjoy it, or, hey, it's not going to do you any good. Because when you add a little bit of works into the message of grace and into salvation, it nullifies grace. It renders it useless in your life. God's power cannot flow in your life as long as there's self-righteousness and performance. It's either or. You get to choose. So, you know, a great way to look at it is those brownies. I think I've used this example before and I'll use it again. I've used it in our church back home. And it's, let's say I decided to make some brownies. And give them, you know, after church, you can just go and grab a fresh brownie and it's all yours for free. Enjoy it. Now, back home in South Africa, we've got a golden retriever named Champ. And Champ messes in the garden quite frequently. And I've decided to recycle his poop. And I've taken 10% of the ingredients for the brownies is Champ's poop. 10%. It's very, okay, 2%. Just 2%. It's very little. You can't even smell it. How many of you would eat that? No. Please don't put up your hand. There might be one. You're like, that brownie's only 1%. You're a dog. I don't care. You should. This is the point. This is the point. We need to receive the pure gospel, the pure message of Jesus and what he's done for us in order to reign in life, in order to rule in life, in order to experience the abundant life. As long, you know, taking a little bit, a mixed message where there's a little bit of legalism is like taking that brownie with just a little bit of poison in. Something that is hazardous to your health. And that's not going to help you. So we need to take it straight. Trusting in anything other than Christ alone for salvation makes void the death of Christ. Okay, you're in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to get into Galatians chapter 1 now in a minute, but Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. I mean, how do we use that term, fallen from grace? That pastor fell from grace, meaning, you know, he got into some immorality or he misused finances and now he's disgraced. He's out of ministry. He's fallen from grace or whatever the case is. That's an incorrect use of the term fallen from grace. Fallen from grace means you're trying to do it in your own effort now. Fallen from grace is I'm no longer trusting in Jesus. I'm trusting in me. That's fallen from grace. And if you're here this morning and you're saying, but I do have to do something. And I hope that you're starting to realize that, hey, if you're starting to trust in yourself, you're fallen from grace. You need to get back into grace. You need to get back into that place of, it's all you, Jesus. Because that's the place of power. Okay? So the obvious purpose of this passionate letter is to bring the Galatians back to pure faith in Christ. Why? Because pure faith in Christ will get pure results. Okay, some of you are wondering, why is this word not working in my life like it should? This is probably one of the answers. It's not the only answer maybe, but one of the answers could be that, hey, it's because you're starting to trust in yourself and not trust in Christ. You know, why am I not experiencing my healing? There's a million answers to that. Okay? And there's no condemnation if you're in that place. So we get to that place and then it's like, as soon as we answer it and say, yeah, I've been fasting, I've been praying, I've been doing my confessions, I've been listening to healing teachings, I've been. As soon as you get to that place, you're being self-righteous, you're trusting in your efforts, you're trusting in what you can do, and it's not going to work. Because grace, you know, all that grace needs to be activated in your life. The power of God is in the grace, the gospel, the message of grace. And all it needs to be activated in your life is faith. That's all. If you can activate grace with your faith, you'll start to see the supernatural flowing in your life like never before. That's all. You can't add to it. Yes, you know, fasting, praying, confessions, whatever, could help position you to be able to get into a place where you're focused, but it does nothing for God. That's right. It's to convince you. It's to work on you. Yeah. Reading the Word isn't for God. Reading the Word is for you. Amen. Studying the Word is for you. It gets you positioned right to be able to receive from God. It positions you, because God's blessing is flowing towards you. You make void the grace of God in your life when you aren't positioned right. And if you're not positioned right, what that basically looks like is as soon as you're starting to trust in self. Okay? So let's get back to Galatians chapter 1. You know, I kind of see a three parts of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1 to 2 is the first part of the book where Paul is basically defending the pure gospel, presenting the pure gospel. Then if you look at chapters 3 and 4, he's arguing that this gospel is what creates this new family of God, this multi-ethnic family of God. And then he also starts to speak about Abraham there and the difference. Then if you look at chapters 5 and 6, he's showing how this glorious good news is what truly transforms us. Okay? And so there's the three kind of sections of it. And now as we get into it, you'll see it's much easier to understand what is Paul saying and what does it mean for me today. Two key verses I just want to look at before we get there. Chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. Chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Now, I like that because he's saying, I called you in the grace of Christ. Everyone say, grace of Christ.
Grace.
To another gospel. Say, another gospel. Another gospel means the grace of Christ is the gospel. You see that? The gospel is the message of grace. That is the power of God unto salvation. Okay? And he's saying, I marvel, I'm astonished, I'm amazed that you are turning away from Jesus. Not just from a message. I'm amazed that you are turning away from Jesus who called you into his grace and you're turning to a different gospel, which is not another. It's not even a gospel. Because it's not good news that you have to work for your salvation. It's not good news that you have to do something in order to be right with God. The good news is all you need to do is believe.
Amen.
And you're made right with God. Okay? Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. We'll look at that last part in a minute. Then Galatians chapter 3, over a page for some of you. chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? How do we obey the truth? Obedience to the truth in the New Testament is faith in Jesus and what he's done for us. Faith in the gospel. That's New Testament obedience. It will lead to obedience and action, but it starts with believing the gospel. When you believe the message of Jesus, you're positioning yourself in obedience. When you don't believe the message of the gospel, you're disobedient. Okay? So, O foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified among you? This only I want to learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of law or by the hearing of faith? What's the answer?
Faith.
You receive the Spirit by faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So what he's saying here, I like that one part there. It says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you made now perfect in the flesh? This is how a lot of Christians are. They realize their need for a Savior. So it's, thank you, Jesus, I'm saved. Thank you, Jesus, that you forgive me. Thank you, Jesus, I receive it. I'm now a child of God. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Amen. Then they walk and they're like, they mess up, they trip, and it's like, oh no. Oh no, like I've done something wrong. God, please forgive me. God, please forgive me. God, please forgive me. I'm going to fast again. I'm going to pray again. I'm going to, you know, do this. I'm going to give more. And you start also declaring, you know, like, Father, I'm going to do better next time. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to love you more, Father. You know, Jesus, lover of my soul, I'll never let you go. And you're just like focusing all on your ability. You're focusing on your performance and you're focusing on yourself. And you're not focusing on Jesus and what he's done for you. And you're trying to live out your Christian life by works. You're trying to live it out by performance of trying to impress God. Do you know that you cannot impress God? He's not impressed with you if you're not in Christ. If you're in Christ, he's impressed with you. You might be doing something wrong, but that's the flesh. That's the carnal part. You know, what he's focused on is the Spirit. Because God is a Spirit and we worship him spirit to spirit. We connect with him spirit to spirit. Now, yes, what you do in your actions is important and it has consequences, but not with God. Your sin and the punishment for it was nailed to the cross. That's what Paul's saying here. You're accepted by God because of faith in Jesus and what he's done for you. Not because you're circumcised or not. Not because you don't eat pork or you do eat pork. Not because of you're doing this holiday or holy day and this one and what. It's nothing to do with that. It's not about what you do. It's about what Jesus has done. On the flip side, you got Christians who are trying to make Christianity into a self-help thing. So, you know, there is no self-help in the gospel. None. No self-help in the gospel. There's only Jesus, help me. Thank you, Jesus, I receive that. Jesus, I don't deserve that, but thank you. Jesus, you're so good. Not Jesus, you know, I've really been good this week. I'm a little bit sick at the moment. If anyone deserves to be healed, Father, it's me. That's a recipe for nothing. Okay? Yeah, in essence, what Paul is saying from these two scriptures we've just read is this. And I took a couple different translations and mixed them up together. Are you people in Galatia mad? Are you so crazy that you've taken leave of your senses? Poor, silly, thoughtless, unreflecting, senseless, unintelligent Galatians. What he's saying is you must be crazy to get into legalism, to get into self-effort. And that's what legalism is. At best, it's stupid. It's out of ignorance. At worst, it's crazy. Okay? Jesus plus anything equals nothing. So chapter 1 and 2 is focusing in on the gospel. It's focusing on the crucified Christ, Christ being the Messiah. And he's talking to these Christians who are being influenced by Jewish people. And he's saying, and he starts off by just defending his position. I got this message from Jesus. You can go read it for yourself in chapter 1. I got this message from Jesus and I'm presenting it to you as his apostle. And then in verse 3 he says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. He starts off by saying, grace and peace go together. If you receive the grace of God, you'll start to experience peace. You might not be experiencing peace in your heart right now, and you might know the message of grace, but are you rooted and grounded in grace to the degree where it can influence your peace? Influence your heart to be at peace. Okay? If grace and peace come together and it comes from God the Father, then legalism comes from the other guy. Comes from the devil. Doesn't come from God. And yet so many Christians are defending legalism in the name of God. Where does that fit in? Legalism is not from God. Grace, undeserved, unmerited, unearned, blessing and favor comes from God. Earned, deserved, favor and blessing comes from the devil. That's the path he wants to get you on. You know why? Because then he can get you into performance. He can make you tired. He can get you to become weak. He can get you to take your eyes off of Jesus, because that's what legalism does, is it takes your eyes off of Jesus and gets you to focus on yourself. Come on, brother. Hey, I'm so good. You know how good I am. I've been fasting for 40 days. You can go Google it. There's a crazy headline I saw in our papers back home of a pastor who died, after 20 days of fasting. He was aiming to break Jesus' record. God didn't kill him. Stupidity did. But the point is, it's like that's focusing on yourself right there. Okay? You know what legalism brings? Grace will bring peace. You need peace, you need to focus in on Jesus and His grace. Legalism and being dominated by what I need to do for God, being dominated by what should I do for God in order for God to love me, bless me, accept me, favor me. If you're focused in on that, it's only going to bring anxiety, fear, and performance-based stress. It's going to make you sick physically. God, you know, you can only experience perfect health if your heart is healthy first. You need to live in a place of wholeness from the inside out. Okay, Jesus, look at what this says. It says verse 4, who gave himself for our sins. I'll add in there, so you don't have to. He gave himself for our sins, so you don't have to. You do an inspection of your heart right now. And you ask yourself the question, how often am I trying to give myself for my sins in order to make right with God? That's probably the reason why things aren't working out so good for you right now. Why things are in turmoil and why your relationships are suffering, your health is suffering, your finances are suffering. It's probably because you're trying to pay for your sins when Jesus did it. And all you needed to do is say, thank you, Jesus. Okay? We don't need to try and get delivered. Look at that verse. It says that he might deliver us from this present evil age. So now, the whole book of Galatians, what it's doing is it's taking our attention and putting it back onto Jesus and not onto ourselves. Paul's writing to say, hey, don't focus on performance. Don't focus on yourself. Focus on Jesus and what he's done for you. Okay, and at the end of the letter, he starts to show you how that if you focus in on Jesus and who you are in Christ, it'll start to produce fruitfulness in your life. It'll start to produce a healthy life. But look at this verse. Okay? You've got a lot of Christians who are trying to get free from the power of darkness. And he's saying, Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Colossians 1:13, says that we have been delivered from the power of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of light. Far too many of us have this theology of the devil, this belief around the devil, this doctrine around the devil, where we just think he's so powerful. And everything that's going wrong in our lives must be the devil. You know, the root of it is probably the fall. God, Adam and Eve and the rebellion, and that was all caused by the enemy's temptation and all that, right? So at the root cause, yeah, maybe. But we give the devil too much credit because we're living in the kingdom of light. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. We've been delivered from this present evil age. You might be experiencing some pressure from the world, but it's because you're living in this world. But you're not of this world. You're of another kingdom. And you need to start to see yourself as from that other kingdom.
That's right.
You know, I've fallen into this trap before. I'll use myself as an example in this one. You know, two years ago, I was speaking to Mark on the phone, your pastor, and said, you know, we're just experiencing so much pressure and attack at the moment. And I said, finances, health, all this type of stuff is just going out of whack. It's crazy. And he was just like, which kingdom do you live in? And I'm so grateful for that loving rebuke, because it set me on course of, hey, I might be experiencing pressure, but it's not necessarily an attack. Finances, it might be my wrong decisions, which got me into this place. Or maybe my life, it's also a wrong decision. My lifestyle is at a level where I'm not earning enough to sustain that lifestyle. Maybe the economy is just bad and I'm experiencing that. I can live above that because I'm in the kingdom.
Amen.
But I can't blame the devil for an attack on my finances. He might influence people, but that's all he can do. My health, like, how can the enemy attack your health? Yes, sickness is from the devil and it's a result of the fall and stuff. But it's like, you know, you may have just done things that wrong that may have caused some sickness in your body, or we live in a fallen world and things go wrong. Praise God, we've got the answer.
Amen.
Amen. We don't have to live with an attack mentality. We should live with a victorious mentality, not focused on the devil and everything he's doing. And this is what Paul is doing here in the churches in Galatia. He's saying, stop trying to get free from the sin in this world. You are free. Okay? You are free that he might deliver us from this present evil age. You are delivered. Now, you might be experiencing some pressures. You might be experiencing some demonic attack in some way or whatever. It's easy to deal with because we're in the kingdom of light. We've got authority. Okay, I've seen people and ministered to people who have been, you know, just influenced by the devil and seen them supernaturally set free, and we've seen awesome things happen, and I believe that there's a place for that. But if you're maturing in your relationship with God, you've got more than enough.
Amen.
To be able to walk in victory and live free. Look at verse 5 there. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I like that verse because it's saying that accepting His grace brings glory to the Father.
Yes.
But when we're not focused on grace, we're not bringing glory to the Father. When we're focused on what we can do for God, when we're focused on legalism, we're not bringing glory to God. You want to bring glory to God? Stop trying to be good.
Amen.
Stop trying to live holy. And start focusing on Jesus and what He's done for you. Then you're bringing glory to the Father. Amen?
Amen.
We're not getting very far. Verse 6 I've read already, so I'm not going to go there. Chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing this, that a man, this is one of the key verses, a man is not justified. The word justified means made just as if I've never sinned, made perfect in the sight of God. A man is not justified, made righteous by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. The law can never make you right with God. The law can never get you right with God. The law can never make you pleasing to God. Doing your efforts to be right and do right are worth nothing. The scripture says they are like filthy rags. That's what Isaiah says. We've got to realize that it's not about my effort. It's about what He's done. And I focus in on the finished work of the cross and I say, thank you, Jesus. And it changes my life. Your life might not be changed and you're saying glory to God, it's His grace, but then you don't have a true revelation of grace yet. If grace takes root in your heart and you start to become established in grace, you'll start to see the fruits of it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9 says it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Our hearts, that's our emotions. That's where we believe. It's our hearts.
That needs to be established in what Jesus has done for us and not what we do for Him. That's got to be established in the grace of God, His unmerited, His undeserved, His unearned favor, and not in performance-based mentality or performance-based relationship with God. So knowing this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, we are made right, declared right with God because of faith. It's got nothing to do with what we do. It's got nothing to do with what we do. It's got everything to do with what He's done and my faith in Him. So, this is good news. Listen here. The pressure's off. Amen. The pressure's off. We need to stop trying to please God. I would have assumed that that would have got you a little bit excited because, I mean, most churches I go to, this is a good church, but most churches I go to, it's all about how to please God. It's about what you need to do to be right with God. How can you become a better person, a better Christian? Well, stop trying and start just resting in what He's done for you and start saying, thank you, Jesus. That's the message of Galatians. We are not made right by the works of the law. We're made right by faith in the finished work. And I mean, people will then, you'll get some grace people who will fall into the trap then of, well, I don't need to do anything. That's not true. We're talking about works of performance. To try and get right with God, to try and be right with God, that's works of performance. There's works of faith that are mentioned in Scripture. And works of faith are the fruitfulness of a relationship with God. Okay? And as you get into a relationship with God and get established in the truth of the Word, it'll start to produce works of faith. You'll start to do something. You'll start to be a blessing to other people, etc., etc. So, again, Paul is countering legalists. Okay? Paul is countering legalists, people who are trying to add to the gospel, people who are trying to add a burden onto people of faith. Okay? And what does he say? Verse 19, "For I, through the law, died to the law." You're dead to the law. Why are you trying to live under it? You're dead to the law. I have been crucified with Christ. I'm dead. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's no longer me living. It's Christ in me and Christ through me. Verse 21, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." I'm dead to the law. I'm crucified with Christ. As soon as I'm trying to earn or deserve His blessing or favor in my life, I'm frustrating grace. You know what that means? Grace can't work in my life. Maybe that's why you're still sick. Maybe that's why, maybe not, but maybe. Maybe that's why there's problems in your life or your relationships aren't so good or your relationship with God isn't doing so good. Because you're not living in His grace, you're living in your performance. This is the message of Galatians. Don't be foolish. Don't be crazy. Don't leave your senses. Live in His grace. Chapters 3 and 4 start to talk about the gospel that creates a new race of people. Chapters 3 and 4 speak about this new family, this kingdom people that we are now. Okay? And there's so many things that we can pull out of there. But he starts to, in verse 7 of chapter 3, speak about Abraham. And he says, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." And you know what he's doing? He's speaking to people, they're struggling with Judaism. They're struggling with Jewish faith and Christian faith and trying to mix the two. And you know what? Father Abraham had many sons. Father Abraham, the father of the Jewish faith, he comes in and he says, "Hey, you don't have to be circumcised in order to be part of the family of Abraham. You just need to believe. Now you're in." That must have upset a few people. That must have been a bit hard for some of them. Verse 9, look at it. "So then, they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Hey, you just need to be of faith. You don't need to be of the law. Be of faith. Okay? Going down.
So then he starts to bring in this whole new people group. And you know, this was, he's showing us, this was God's heart, that it wasn't just God's special people, the Jews. But his heart was always for everyone. What does he say to Abraham? He says, through you, all nations shall be blessed. What is it? What do the angels declare at the birth of Jesus? This is, we bring you glad tidings of great joy, which will be for the Jewish people. All people, all people. God's heart is for everyone. No one's excluded. No one is excluded. And so in Galatians chapter 3, 26 to 29, we see God's heart, that he wanted a new family where everyone's included. He wanted a new race of people. You know, according to Scripture, there's really three, this is the best family to be part of, okay? This is the new race that we need to be part of, and it's the kingdom of God. It's the family of God, okay? Galatians 3:26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Neither is there a Jew nor Greek, neither is there slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So he is countering this mixed message of Judaism and Christianity. And he's saying it's Jesus only. It's faith in Jesus and what he's done for us that sets you up to be able to live a blessed life. Amen? Amen. It's all about faith, which brings the rebirth. And that's what I want to look at. You know, then he gets into all things in chapter 3 and chapter 4 on the law. And why the law then? You go read that for yourself. Because you can kind of see now the systematic way that he's presenting the gospel here. It's all Jesus. Okay, yes, you're asking a question about Abraham. Let me explain that. Oh, yes, why the law then? Let me explain that. And he explains that the law was just temporary. The law was never meant to be permanent. And he starts to just explain a bit about the law and all of that. And we're not going to get into that right now. But then he brings, I'll just mention one scripture, Galatians 3:24. He says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So he's saying the purpose of the law was to bring you to Jesus. The purpose of the law was to show you that you need a Savior, that you need Jesus. Can you put the next verse on there, please, 25. It says, but after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We're not under law. Amen. Faith came, it's Jesus. Jesus came, now you don't need the law. Okay, one of the questions which then come up is, but don't we need a moral compass? Don't we need to be told what to do? Don't we need to tell people this is how you live? Okay, what about that one? Well, chapters 5 and 6 start to speak about that. Okay. And this is the point. He's saying, now he's talking about how when we receive this gospel, it puts us in a new family. And now in this new family and a new race, you're a new creation. And now the Spirit within you transforms you. It's not the law on the outside which compels you. It's the Spirit within that transforms you. Christianity is not another opportunity to try again. Christianity is not an opportunity to try harder. Christianity is not another chance or a second chance or another chance and another chance. And Christianity is a whole new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Paul echoes that in chapter 6, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. It's not about what you do, circumcision. It's not about what you don't do, not being circumcised. It's about the new creation. The moment you receive Jesus, you become a new person. You're not governed by the law of Moses anymore. You're in a new covenant. And now, if you realize who you are in Christ, you can start to live the Spirit-led life, which he gets back to in chapter 5, and he speaks about how you're the fruit of the Spirit. The natural byproduct of having the Spirit of God in you and being a new creation is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. He's just mentioned the works of the flesh. And you know what he said there? He's talking about the old man. The old man who's dead now. And he's saying, this is what you were, but the fruit of the Spirit.
The fruit of the one that lives in you, because God lives in you now. You are His address. You're a new creation. And now you are propelled to be able to live a life like Jesus. The Jesus life. Transformation in our lives is not difficult. It's impossible without the Spirit of God. It's impossible without Jesus, but it's possible because we've got Him. Change in our lives should be effortless. You might be struggling with a habit, an addiction. You might be struggling with something, whatever. It's not as powerful as you think it is. And when you realize that, that's when you start to get free. When you start to realize, hey, this thing doesn't have such a hold on me because I'm a new creation. I am dead to sin, but alive to God. And because of that, I can walk in freedom. Yep. The whole point of what Paul is doing is he's speaking about how we need to let go of trust in self, and we need to be trusting in God. We're not focused on our performance, we're focused on His performance and what He's done for us, what He's freely done for us, freely offering us. That's the gospel. And so when we look at Galatians as a whole, you get so much more out of it if you were to read it as a whole and then go and study it verse by verse. And I've left out so many things. I've left out more than I wanted to. But if you go and study it for yourself, it will enrich your relationship with God. When you sit there and you meditate on it, it's going to bring life to your relationship with God. It's going to cause you to walk in more freedom. Because as you come to know the truth shall make you free. Yeah, I was sitting with a guy once who he had been in ministry. He was a worship leader. He knew all the, he'd been to Bible schools and all this type of stuff. And I sat with him, and he had a whole host of issues, which I won't get into now, but sexual things and all sorts of things. And we were sitting there, and I was like, right, you know, tell me about it. He told me about it. I was like, we're going to go through this study on grace. And this is what I feel God's saying is we just need to dig the foundations deeper. And he was not excited about that. Yeah, he was expecting deliverance. Jesus never said deliverance shall make you free. There's a place for deliverance. He said you shall know the truth. He was speaking about discipleship. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So I sat there with him, and I was going through this, and after a couple lessons, he got frustrated with me. And he was like, you know, I suppose the answer is just that you I know all this stuff, I just need to go and do it now. There's a huge disconnect there. Yeah, you don't do anything. You come to know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth does the work in making you free. Yes. You need to walk it out. Yes, you need to live it out. Yes, you need to live the word, do the word or whatever. That, I'm not saying don't do that. But what I'm saying is that you don't have to try and make yourself free. You need to receive that freedom by being born again. The new creation is different from the old creation. The new creation is set up for success. I want to go to 1 John chapter 5. And I want to show you something here quickly. Just about the new creation. Chapter 5, verse 1, it says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Not whoever obeys the law of Moses. Whoever believes is a child of God. Go to verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We are living in a place of victory. We have overcome the world. We just need to realize it. There's really two issues in a person's life. You might find yourself in one of these categories. Number one, every problem in your life can be tied to the fact that you're not born again. Every problem in your life can be tied to the fact that you're not born again. And you might be sitting here and saying, well, that's not me. I'm born again. Wonderful. Then I believe now some problems happen to us and we can't do anything with that. Right? Wrong. We can respond to it in a different way and overcome it. But problems will happen to us. In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus said. Okay, so now we have these issues in our lives. But the reason why they stay, all of them, is because we don't know who we are in Christ. There's two problems. You're either not in Christ or you don't know what happened to you when you got into Christ.
Right.
When you became a new creation. It's all about the new creation. It's all about living as a believer. And the way to do that is getting into the Word and discovering what's rightfully ours. Discovering who we are in Christ. That, hey, I am not bound by the law and held to the law. I'm free. There is no performance necessary. God is not, you know, God's family is a family. Amen? It's not a circus. He's not the ringmaster and expecting you to jump through hoops. There is no performance necessary. What He expects from you and His desire for you is that you would experience His love. And you know what happens as you experience His love? You start to walk in freedom. You start to be changed. Lots of people come to church, come to Christ, whatever, and they're trying to do something to get better. All you need to do is receive His love. Experience His love. Discover who you are in Christ. It will change your life. That's my testimony of it. That's my wife's testimony of it. We've got many people back home in our churches there whose testimony is the same. I know many of you have the same testimony. It's not about what we do. It's about what He's done and our faith in Him. Releases the power of God. Our faith releases the power of God, not our performance, not our goodness. It's His goodness. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Not Shane is good, not you is good, nobody else is good. Taste and see His goodness. You can experience His goodness. And how do you do that? By faith.